Christianity doesn't have any idea what's going on this week. He doesn't know what about tomorrow. Either Christ finished it all and did everything need to be done and leaves us without anything to do, or we're legalistic if we do anything. He did away with the law and all that. I thought it might be interesting just to look at the instances of the Passover in the New Testament. You know, we've talked about preparing for it, about examining ourselves. We've heard of several different sermons and sermonettes talking about the Passover. What I'd like to do is just go through the book, the verses where the Passover is actually mentioned in the New Testament. I'm going to look at a couple of misunderstandings about some of those scriptures and see what the truth is. And hopefully, if anyone has any doubt about any of it, about keeping the Passover, about whether we need to or the proper way to do it, we can clear up some of those questions. A couple of things I'd like for us to remember as we go through this. You won't have to turn there, but over in Isaiah chapter 28, we're told that precept must be upon precept, line upon line. Remember that when we're studying any subject that we have to look at it. Of course, 2 Peter, we won't turn there either, but Peter said that no prophecy of Scripture, no Scripture by itself is of its own interpretation and overrules the rest of the Bible. The main thing to remember is context. Someone asked the minister one time what the most important thing about understanding Scripture, and he gave the old answer that most real estate agents use. You know, they say location, location, location. The minister said context, context, context. You know, the immediate context around the verse you're talking about, how does it fit in the entire chapter 10, or maybe even the book, but nothing compared to what it means in the overall context of the entire book. We know that God, this is God's instruction book, and we need to follow it. We'll look at Leviticus 23, about this Passover. I'd like to just talk about, like that, the scriptures where it's mentioned in the New Testament. We'll start with the first one found over in Luke chapter 2. I tried to put them in a chronological order, maybe one or two that I've gotten out of the order of their appearance. But in Luke chapter 2, I talked about this in the sermon not too long ago. This is actually the first time recorded that Jesus speaks in Luke chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 41. Luke 2 and verse 41. His parents went up to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days of return, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. And the thing I want us to focus on, of course, is down in verse 49, where he said, "Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Passover is a very prominent part of the New Testament in Christ and his word, and I think he knew that at a very early age. It's not surprising to me that he chose the Passover that year to make his first statement about being about his father's business. Turn over to John chapter 2, and we'll see another time that the Passover is mentioned. John chapter 2, we'll start verse 13. John 2:13 says, "Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in him, believed in his name when they saw the signs that he did." It's just another instance of him keeping the Passover during the years before he was actually crucified as a Passover lamb. Just a few pages over in chapter 6 of John. Passover was mentioned again. We won't read much, just read that it was mentioned. "And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. One thing we noticed in these scriptures is called the Passover of the Jews. That's the concept that most Christianity has today, that this was a Jewish festival, and we don't have to keep it. Let's turn over to Leviticus chapter 23 and read what God says about the Passover and who it belongs to. Leviticus 23. Scripture we all know very well. We've read it dozens of times. We've heard it preached many times. Leviticus chapter 23, we'll start in verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord." It doesn't say the feast of the Jews or the feast of Israel or anybody else. It's God's feast. "The feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy to all occasions. These are my feasts. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you proclaim in the appointed times. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover." Even though the New Testament referred to many times as the feast of the Passover of the Jews, it's actually God's Passover. It doesn't belong to any group of people other than God's people. So the next time somebody tells you, "Well, that's a Jewish feast," take them to Leviticus 23 and read that to them. Down in verse 35 of John 6, we read verse 4 a few minutes ago. I should have told you to keep your finger there, and I didn't. Go back to verse 35 of John 6. Doesn't have anything to do with the Passover necessarily, but Jesus introduced something there that does have to do with the Passover. Jesus said to them in verse 35, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." That's when he introduced the idea of his body being bread. And we know that it is the Passover bread that we partake of. Turn over a little bit more in John to chapter 11. We'll see the next time that the Passover is mentioned. John chapter 11 and verse 55. "And the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went from the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves." This was the Passover, the last one that would be celebrated, the one that Christ would be crucified at. Just a page or two over in chapter 12 of John, verse 1. "Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead." All these just mention the Passover, and there's no, shouldn't be any doubt in anybody's mind what we're talking about. Matthew chapter 26, Mark chapter 14, and Luke chapter 22 all relate to the story of the Passover, so I'm not going to read from all three of them. We'll start by reading from Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, and we'll just read a verse or two. We'll start with verse 2. "You know that after 2 days of the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." Jesus knew that he was going to be crucified, as the Passover that year wasn't anything unusual for him. He knew that. Then in verse 17, "Now on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?'" One thing we can learn from this verse, and we need to remember, the Passover and the days of unleavened bread can be referred to as two different days, as the Passover and the first day of unleavened bread, or the feast of unleavened bread. But many times they're all used interchangeably. Someone will mention the Passover and he's talking about the entire feast. Sometimes they talk about the days of unleavened bread, and they include the Passover. This instance, they use the day of unleavened bread, and they're talking in particular about the Passover. They ask him where he wanted to eat it. He said to them, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I'll keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. There's a lot of confusion, even within the Church of God, as to when to keep the Passover and how to keep it. There's some people keep it on the 14th, some people keep it on the 15th. The original Passover, of course, was kept in the homes, and there are people who will only keep their Passover at home. Now, they won't come and meet with a congregation and observe together because they feel like it's something that you're supposed to do in an individual home. What they don't realize, or seems to me they don't realize, Jesus kept it with his disciples in somebody else's house. It wasn't any of their homes. It was as a group. So don't be confused if someone tells you you need to keep it at home. It's all right to do it that way if they really believe that. But the example of Christ is to keep it as a group. And as I said, it wasn't in any of their homes. It was in someone else's home. We need to remember that. They asked him where he wanted to prepare it. He said, "Go to the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I'll keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover." Turn with me to Luke chapter 22, and let's pick up the story over there. There's a little bit more we can get from Luke's account. It's the thing I found most interesting about a little line here and a line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. None of them give the complete story. They all add just a little bit, and I think God inspired it to be that way. And in Luke chapter 22, we're starting verse 14. "When the hour had come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, 'With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.'" We know that he was crucified on the afternoon of the 14th. So this was the evening before, for those who are really confused about whether it's the 14th or 15th to be observed. I think this is pretty clear. But if you go back to Leviticus, and it's real clear when it says that the Passover is on the 14th and the Feast of Unleavened Bread starts on the 15th. But he had desired so strongly to eat this Passover with them. So he wasn't there to do anything but have a Passover meal with his disciples. That's what he wanted to do. Verse 16 says, "For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is finished in the kingdom of, or fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. There's something interesting about where he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." Because it's confused in modern Christianity, or most of Christianity. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll just read verses 25 and 26. Paul is talking about the instructions for keeping the Passover. Verse 25, "In the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do,'" and he adds a little bit to this, "'who is in remembrance of me.'" He adds, "as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Many churches celebrate once a week, some once a month. I know of one church that celebrates it every quarter of the year. And they use that verse, "as often as you do it." in remembrance of me to justify whenever they want to do it. But what was Christ doing? Was he celebrating his death or was he celebrating the Passover? It's all the same. But he made it clear at the beginning of the scriptures that he was talking about keeping the Passover with his disciples. And that's what we're to do in remembrance of him. We're to keep the Passover. Not just take the bread and the wine anytime we want to, but do it as a memorial to him. And like I said, it's another misunderstanding people have. I think most of us know that the biggest problem Jesus had when he came the first time was with the Jews and the way they celebrated, the way they worshiped him or tried to worship him. I hope when he comes back that he doesn't find all of Christianity trying to worship him in the wrong way, doing things the wrong way. I know most of what, like I say, what we call traditional Christianity is wrong. I hope he finds the church doing it his way, the way he wants us to do it. Celebrating the Passover once a year, not every week or every month. Over in John chapter 13, we read a little bit more about Passover. Actually, John 13 through 17 is all about the Passover. We'll just look at John 13. John 13, verse 1. And before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Turn over a page, so they're talking about showing his love. Over in John chapter 15, just a page or two over where we're at. Just verse 13 of John 15. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life, one's life for his friends. He was teaching him that he couldn't show him any more love than laying down his life, and that was what he was about to do. But he had told them this, and they had no idea exactly what he meant. It was a totally foreign concept to them that he would die. Turn over a couple of pages to John chapter 18. John chapter 18, we're starting verse 28. This is just another time where the Passover is mentioned. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the Praetorium. And it was early, but they themselves did not go into the Praetorium lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. The Jews were so confused, they were actually eating a Passover meal on the evening of the 15th. They had been doing this for years. It got that way when they changed the killing of the lambs from doing it in the home. They realized that the priests they were taken to the priest and have them killed. And there were so many that they did it on the afternoon of the 15th and eating the meal afterwards. And that's how the Jewish Seder became on the 15th. It was interesting. There's a website that I use to print out a Jewish calendar to keep up with the Jewish calendar compared to our calendar. It's called kabbalah.org. I went to it yesterday, just looked in any information you need about Judaism, they can give you on that website. And I put in the Passover. I didn't realize it, but the Jews keep the Passover now from the 14th to the 30th this year, which is an extra day. And I couldn't figure out why, so I kept reading. If you're in Jerusalem, you keep it on the 14th. And the days of unleavened bread from the 15th to the 21st. If you're outside Jerusalem, you keep it on the 15th. And the days of unleavened bread on the 16th through the 30th. Keep it a day later if you're outside of Jerusalem. That's not what God said to do, but that's the way the Jews do it now. We know that Judaism is not God's religion. It's the one that the Jews have built. So they wanted to eat the Passover a day later than Christ did, as it reads there in John chapter 18. It's mentioned one more time there in John in chapter 19, verse 14. John 19, 14. Now, with the preparation day of the Passover, about the ninth hour, he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." I just want to point that out because that's another place where it's used. Some of the other misconceptions I've heard you people come up with over the years, and like I think I mentioned in my last sermon, that you can prove, or people can come up with any idea if they use the right translation or the right commentary to prove the point. In Exodus chapter 12, there's a couple of points we need to remember about the Passover. I know one misconception that I came up with one time, and shows just how our evil heart can lead us astray if we let it. We know that the Passover is not actually one of the days of unleavened bread. The feast is two different things. The Passover is on the 14th, and the feast of unleavened bread starts on the 15th. But in Exodus chapter 12, if I can get to it, just a couple of things I want to point out and make sure we remember. I was thinking about that, the fact that it's on a different day. And I looked through the scriptures, and there's nowhere in the New Testament that says that he used unleavened bread on the night of the scripture, on the Passover night. And so my mind got to thinking, well, maybe it's okay to eat leavened bread for the Passover. But then I go back to Exodus chapter 12, verse 8. "Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs, you shall eat it." So too many times, if we're not careful, we can get zeroed in on one scripture, on one idea, and we can make mistakes. Like I said, I didn't think that very long because I went back and read Exodus and saw, yes, you eat the Passover with unleavened bread. Then, excuse me, let me get a little bit dry. Verse 22 of chapter 12 there in Exodus. Something else we need to remember. Verse 22. "And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that's in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is on the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning." People get confused thinking that maybe the Israelites started out of Egypt after the Passover meal that night. They were instructed to stay in their houses until morning. Passover was on the 14th. The days of unleavened bread started on the 15th. And on the evening of the 15th was the time that we know of now as the night to be much observed. The Jews have it all confused and do it all in one night. Couple of scriptures to remember when we're talking about the Passover. Another time that it's used, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Read Paul's instructions about the Passover. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll start in verse 7. But after I went to 1 Corinthians, I went to 7. First Corinthians 5, verse 7. "Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us." Verse 8, this verse is for all those who say we don't have to keep it anymore. "Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Paul is pretty clear talking to the Corinthian church, and I don't think it was a more Gentile church than the Corinthians. And he says, let us keep the peace. Some people get mixed up with the last part of the verse there, where it says we don't have to keep it with old leaven, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So we can do away with the old leaven and just be sincere and truthful, and we'll keep it that way. So we don't have, people can come up with some ideas. I've heard people don't like keeping any of the holy days. If we go back to, let's look back at Leviticus 23 again. We wrote there a minute ago, but we read the opening verses where they said that it was God. Verse 5 says, on the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. People, the holy days either stand together or they fall. People will try to disprove one of them, and they can make some pretty convincing arguments sometimes, but we need to remember these are God's feasts and no man can do away with them. Then in verse 44 there in Leviticus 23, it says, so Moses declared to the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. He gave them God's feast. He didn't give them Israel's feast or Judah's feast. He gave them the Lord's feast. Passover is mentioned one other time in the New Testament. Well, actually two other times. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. No big confusion, I don't think, about this verse. Just want to read it because it does mention the Passover. Hebrews chapter 11, just verse 28. Talking about Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest those who destroyed the firstborn, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch him. Again, just proving that the Passover is mentioned here, and of course, he's talking about it. Moses keeping it. It's mentioned one other time in the New Testament, that's over in Acts chapter 12. I don't think it's just mentioned here for coincidentally. I think it's always important that it's mentioned as many times as it is. In Acts chapter 12, we'll just read verse 4. Actually, we'll start in verse 3. This is after Herod had killed James, and he was going to kill Peter because he saw that the Jews had proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, but during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers into keeping, intending to bring him before the people after the Passover. The one thing this shows that he's referring to the Passover in the days of unleavened bread is one event. And that's the same mistake a lot of people make. There's one other scripture regarding, doesn't talk about the Passover, but it's regarding the feast. And I think it's significant. There's several of the other holy days that are mentioned in the New Testament, not nearly as many times as Passover is. I think Pentecost is mentioned three times. Feast of Tabernacles once. And the fast is mentioned, but it doesn't really call the Day of Atonement. The fast is mentioned one in Acts. But there's an interesting scripture in Acts chapter 18. Because we're here in Acts, it's over there in Acts chapter 18. And I get to park on one of my pet peeves here. Read it in your Bible as I read it here, because I want you to notice something, depending on which translation you're using. Verse 21 of chapter 18, we're talking about Paul, says, but took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep the coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing, and himself from Ephesus. They're not using the King James or the New King James or one of the half a dozen or so that are made from the Byzantine text. Yours reads something like this. He took leave of them, saying, "But I'll return again, God willing, and sail from Ephesus." It doesn't say, "I must keep this feast in Jerusalem." If I was using a translation, I think that translation would give me another one. Like I said, I can't resist when I get a chance to mention that. I think we've gone through enough scriptures showing that Christ kept the Passover, and that was what he kept the night before he was crucified. And that's when we should keep it. There's a lot of misconceptions about it. Traditional Christianity or modern day Christianity or so-called Christianity, whatever you want to call it. I try to, like I said, find it. Not be so critical of it, because it's not the people, it's the Satan has led them down the wrong way. But there's no doubt that we as the New Testament church need to keep the Passover on the 14th, not any other day, not the 15th. But they used to unleavened bread start on the 15th. So tomorrow night when we come here to keep the Passover, it'll be on the evening of the 14th. Now I hope to see all of you all here for that.